Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of the Muscle and the Hustle podcast. I hope you are very well. You are on fire this week. And look, we're good. We're live from Mexico at the moment. I don't know where I'm going to be when this is released. I am out of this place in 2 days. No flight, no nothing. Fuck all about Daniel's away. So I don't know where the next one will be or where I could be homeless. I could be doing this in the streets of the favelas and Brazil or anywhere. I don't know where Mickey's gonna be.
Do you actually know at all where you're going? Like, you honestly don't know?
No, I have no fucking clue at all. I'm going to decide tonight or tomorrow morning, one or the other.
Flip a coin. Why don't you let your followers decide? Give them the option. Give them one or two.
No, there's a couple options. Like, I had a Brazilian chef want me to come down to collab. I had JPGs talking about me going out to him in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
There's Movement Maestro in Boston. There's my business partner, Steven, in Miami. I can go back towards... So I don't think I'll come home.
Steven in Miami?
Steven's moved to Miami, yeah.
Full time?
Yeah, that's him fully moved.
Fuck, deadly. Jesus Christ.
Making moves.
I knew you went there after your last trip last year to America, but I didn't realize he...
That was a tester to see. Well, he was already set up. I don't know. I've never heard of anything like this. I don't know if anybody else is like this, but I've had this one incline with a place. It's made me two places, and it's made me nervous to go to them two places because I've got told so many times that I'm going to love it so much that I'm never going to want to leave. Now, people did tell me about that by Bali and all these other places, but San Diego and the East Coast, like the Gold Coast of Australia, they're the two places that people have told me if I go, I'm going to end up never leaving. So I've not been hesitant, but he got told that about Miami, went there, and then was like, yep, I'm 100% moving. So he just got everything and fucking moved. So credit where credit's due. I think it takes balls to move to another country where you don't know anyone. There's no real connections. You really do roll the dice. Like, but then the thing is, I remember talking to him about it, and this goes to anyone. I always say, and we said it in the last podcast, what if shit hits the fan, you just simply move back and you're in the world. You're in the position that you are. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think a lot of people fall down in that. Like, I always go, what's the worst position I could be in? I'm like, well, I'll probably move back in home with my mom and dad. And I'm like, I quite enjoy that. And I do that all the time fucking anyway. So my worst position is where I'm currently at.
Yeah. Well, look, I remember it was a guy, we were chatting, I think the last time we were in Australia, and he was, the first time he went to Australia, he was 19 and he lasted 3 days and flew home. And now he's 30. He flew back when he was 21 and he's been there ever since. But he just said he wasn't ready for it. He didn't like it. The culture shock was too much for him and he just freaked out, got on the plane, went home. And I was like, did you regret it? And he goes, I probably didn't, because he goes, that them years from 19 to 21, he goes, I had a lot of fun at home. But he goes, and it probably made, when I went to Australia, made me enjoy it more. And he goes, now, like, he goes, it's home for me. But he goes, when I first, from the moment he got out of that plane, and he's seen Australia and it was so busy and whatever, he goes, nah, this is definitely not for me. And it was just strange to hear that sort of, and he owned it. Like, he was like, oh, just freaked out, went home. I was home. He think he was home within 5 days.
That can happen to you though. I felt very much like that. Now, fair enough, I didn't move to London, but every time I'm in London, I enjoy it. And the same with New York, I really enjoyed for like 1 to 3 weeks, but I'm like, I couldn't live here. Whereas like, I could probably live in Mexico. I could live in like, San Fran, I could live in Bali, Dubai, Ireland, Spain. But then there is places like New York, or if it's too big a city, there's not enough sun, it's like busy, 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 like London. Even Dublin, I sometimes get like that too. It's like very go, 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 go. It makes me, no, there's nothing wrong with feeling small, but, and it can help you in that sense, but, and there's always something going on, so there's real pros. But for me, it just doesn't click. So I know like that too big a city is too much for me. Now, although it sounds odd because like that's Dubai, but something about the sun sort of calms me a bit, or if there's that beach vibe to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that happens. And I think that's all your perception as well. I heard somebody say recently that they went traveling and moving country because they were trying to, they always felt like they would get happiness elsewhere. And it is an inside out job, as much as that sounds cheesy. Like if you're miserable in Ireland, you're going to be miserable in Dubai. You're going to be miserable in Australia. And that's the reason I always say when people go to me, where's your favorite place? I'm like, I'm probably one of the worst people to ask. There is places I slightly prefer, but like, I don't have a bad time anywhere. So I'm the worst person to ask, because it's the mindset you go in. Like, I've been to Bali 3 times, and one of the times I had a really shit experience. It wasn't because Bali was different. It was just because my headspace.
Yeah. Well, there is, there is a different, like the said, there is some cities that are very business centric and financial businesses and big multi conglomerates like New York and like London and Beijing and Tokyo and places like that there. But then there's also cities like Miami and LA, which is a wee bit different, where they've got different sort of cultures all under one roof. Different, though. So they've got the beach culture, got the city culture, then they've got the business. Whereas New York has the beach, but it's far away, like it's an hour and a half drive. But like that's why I'd say, the San Fran thing and the San Diego, like San Diego's kind of got it all as well. That coast's a wee bit different. Then you have big business, like big cities like Toronto and Montreal and all them ones. It is one of
Where's your favorite? Like, if you were like to people must go places, I have a couple that I would recommend here, and I think this will actually be a decent one. Where would you recommend for anything? It can be experience, gym scene, it can be just a holiday. I have a couple of mine that I would really highly recommend. I'll give them out. I think people actually love this. So you can go first.
For me, for a city that has it all, is Sydney. Like all, like everything. Like I mean, nightlife, food scene, gym scene, beach scene, business. You could no.
Is that to live though? That's not a holiday.
Not the holiday. If it's going for living wise or for holiday wise, for somewhere that's got everything, I would still have to go towards New York, which this time last year I was probably not a big fan of New York, but when I found Long Beach, it is just fucking amazing. And it's you're an hour from an hour and 20 minutes of traffic from Manhattan, one of the nicest sleepy beach towns you'll ever see. And I think it's just New York has a city that offers a lot more than just Manhattan or Midtown. So I think it's pretty up there. Sydney also for a holiday would be very good. It's just very far away. It all really depends on where you are at life as well. A lot of them cities to have a really good time and to really like take out you, it is financially bur like there's a financial burden that comes with it. New York, especially with the currency now, is a very, very expensive city. Like a very expensive city. If you like your beer, you like your drinks, you're talking it's £10 a pint. Like
Yeah.
so
That's
like that.
holiday, like.
Yeah, so if you're going on holiday and say you and the missus going out for a couple of cocktails one night, be prepared that every night's going to cost you, if you're drinking cocktails especially, to £200 a night. And that's
That'd be same
before.
Dublin though.
No, it's probably about £3, maybe cheaper, £3 or £4 cheaper. But then on top of that, you have to tip 10%. So,
Oh yeah, true.
it does add up. And that comes from, and I'm saying this from someone who believes that nothing, if something's worth it, it's never too expensive. You only live once and all that. And if it's a nice beer, if it's £10 or it's £8, you just want that nice beer. It's not like, but it does add up. And I noticed it a lot over Paddy's weekend. It adds up. Like it really does. Sydney's not a cheap city either, but it's got, I think Sydney, for me, it's got everything, and it's got everything in buckets. It's got some of the best beaches you will ever see in your life.
That's the price of where it is. It's like, for example, I remember going to a restaurant with somebody in Marbella in Spain,
Yeah.
overlooking the sea, and the person complained about the price of something. And I turn around and goes, "Well, you could save €10 by eating this in Galway, or eating this, not Galway, but I forget where he was from." And I turn around and goes, "You could eat this for save €10 and eat this wherever you were." But I was like, "I'd rather be here overlooking the sea and the heat. I'd pay the extra money for that." And I goes, "It's all about your perception and then what you're getting for it." It's like, Joe. It's all equivalent. It's like when people go Dubai, so expensive. I'm like, yeah, but there's no tax, no VAT here. It's made for the person that's living here. It's not made for tour. It's not made for that. And then for me, I would say a holiday spot, Hawaii. I think Hawaii is a must. I think it's something that people. It's got everything. It had Jurassic Park. It had a really good culture. It's got the energy of the States, but it's also got a tropical feel. It's got like Heritage, it had Jurassic Park, it had so much good food, but it is obviously expensive or whatever you want to call it. But
Is it
for me,
expensive to is it expensive? Yeah.
I stayed for a month, and whenever I told anybody that I was staying a month, everybody freaked out in the taxi drivers. They were like, Jesus Christ. They were like, this is not a place people come. It depends where you are. I was very close to Honolulu. Whereas if you stayed elsewhere, maybe different. But for a holiday, for a honeymoon, I think it'd be a great spot. It's very, like, you imagine loads of palm trees, yeah. Really nice locals. It's got all the songs. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it thoroughly. It's probably got the best ice cream I've ever had. no, not the same as the Lopperts in America. There's a Lopperts brand in America, but there's a different Lopperts in Hawaii. That's the one. It's got this tiki toffee ice cream. It's unbelievable. Now, that's not the reason I fucking love the place, but I would say that's great for a holiday. I've been to the Caribbean, the Bahamas and all. It's great for a holiday if you want that. In my honest opinion, people underrate it.
It's very slow, the Caribbean, but that's what I found. It's very slow.
Yeah, that's why I'm going away for. I don't go away for like a big touristy thing. And then in terms of like a nice mixture of somewhere that is both, but you could also live, it would probably be Bali for me. I think it's also got the right price margin. If it was me and I was telling somebody to go somewhere, I'd probably be like, probably somewhere in Spain or somewhere around Bali would probably be the region initially right now. If you asked me, I had to stay somewhere for the next year, I'd probably pick one of them two. Maybe the States, maybe East or West Coast, but obviously that comes into play. San Fran was absolutely phenomenal. I think San Diego would be good. If you're doing a holiday, I think I could live in San Fran. But for me in general, I think just something about the Bali experience has always been really, really good. I don't know if I could live in Dubai long term. I think it is a good holiday spot, and I think it's good for a month or two, but I think long term it's very artificial.
I love
that it's artificial to an extent, and I love the word artificial. It's perfect for it because everything in it is fake. Everybody is, you know, driving Lambos, they're getting cosmetic surgery, they're fucking full of money. It is made to make money, and it's a really good place to network, and it's really, really solid. And as much as you can control your internal environment, it is one of the things where there's so much of that externally around you, it can start warping you to make you feel like you should be doing more. But for me, the heat's good, the people are good, the energy's good, but it's all the mindset you come to. I just don't know if I could live there long, long, long term. So for me, it's a good holiday spot. But like everything, depends what you're looking for. Like if you want, as you said, like New York, like you could live there for months on end, no issue. But like, I don't know if I could live more than like a summer there. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if I could live long term. Whereas I feel like Miami, it's got that mixture. I need that like little bit of low-life. But from everywhere I've traveled, I think my favorite places, Hawaii, Bali, San Fran, I really did enjoy Mexico. I think the food in Mexico is unbelievable. And then apart from that, you've got your normal sort of Spain, Joe. You've got your normal sort of holiday places, like your skiing resorts and that. But for me in general, if you haven't been to Bali, Hawaii, or the States in general is a place I really think you should go to. Yeah. I think it's a very good energy place. I think it's something very different. It's a complete culture shock, even though it doesn't feel like it's all English. And apart from that, I'd say if you haven't been to Bali or Thailand or Southeast Asia, for the price of things versus what you get, and even how grateful the people are with little, I feel like obviously if you're like a bit more of a party scene, the Thailand's probably the shout. If you want a bit more of the cultural that's not as touristy, you're probably better going to Vietnam. And if you want that sort of more Western, but it's still got gyms, but still got protein, you're probably looking more towards the Bali. So like you've got something to suit everyone in that market. You've also got the Philippines. And I feel like if you haven't done Southeast Asia or you haven't done the States, one or the other, if you haven't done that yet, I would highly recommend Southeast Asia, Indonesia. I think they're just places that you should at some stage even try it for 2 weeks. Like Dargan, once he leaves here, he goes home for a week and then he's going straight to Bali. Like he booked him and his girlfriend to go to Bali because he was like, it's such a good mixture. Yet he lived there with me for time. So it's like an all round, you'll get what you want there, which is really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's nice because then it gets people thinking because summer's coming up now if you haven't booked your holidays. And the beautiful thing is if you have multiple places that cover you for all seasons, like for example, if you want a summer getaway, but it's fucking like later in the year, you know, Dubai is a good option. There's places you can go, obviously they cost more, but you get my thought process around that. And I think it's always nice to hear from the horse's mouth, like what's good work. Yeah.
Well, I often thought about Bali. It's somewhere I haven't spent enough time, but I'm sure it's probably got the same perks, if not more than Thailand. But do you think
here, though, I reckon it's got to be more westernized. I went 8 years ago, 4 years ago, and then last year, and the first time I went, you wouldn't have got one building over one story high. They were all huts. Canggu was two streets. I went back 4 years ago, Canggu was maybe like 5-6 streets. Now like Canggu has like small suburbs off the side of it and like 3-4 story hotels. Like it's fucking nuts. It's like They've built it out of nothing. Like, it's Canggu, Pern, and Samnier. Like, they're all almost one now. Like, there's no gap between them, whereas you used to have drive maybe 20 minutes of just rainforest to the next or whatever, versus now it's like the streets just run into each other. There's actual traffic. It's mad how much the drinks have went up. Like, I remember going to Vietnam and it costing us like maybe the equivalent of like 40p for a pint. And now I reckon it would be so much dearer. Like, the first time I went to Bali, it was like £1.50 a drink. Now it's like, it's pretty fucking standard price, if not a little bit above that in most places. So it's interesting to see how it flows in. But you can get fucking whey protein. Or, like, you couldn't get that whenever I used to be there. Like, it just, that wasn't a thing. Like, there was it was so tough to get gyms and all the first time I went. So, but I'm not somebody that's going to complain about that. That's ideal for me, because now you can get all the Western stuff. You can get a Diet Coke there. Like, even when I came back, was in Mexico 6 months ago, and this shows how quick things are moving. There was not one, I don't care what anyone says, because I can't get over the amount of them. There was not one 7-Eleven when I was here a year ago, and there's about fucking 20 of them in Tulum, because that airport's getting built. And now you can get, now, I don't know if anybody remembers this, anybody follow me last year, I was going through all the energy drinks I had in Mexico, and I was drinking ones that I used to laugh and say, like, this looks like a blue dildo. I'd be like, wonder what this is going to taste like, and they all just taste a Red Bull. You can get Monsters here now. Like, you can get Red Bulls here. You can get Gatorades, Powerades. Because they're building this airport down here, and obviously the price of everything's going through the roof. But even where I'm staying now, like, this is like a complex thing getting built. Like, as I look at, there's like 3-story villas getting built up everywhere, and it's just very interesting, because obviously it's just a holiday destination. People are seeing the money, they're building them, and I actually enjoy every part of that, because on the build up to it, it's still quite quiet, and you're getting all the stuff brought in, like the 7-Elevens, which just makes life easier, because a lot of people go, oh, that's not culture. But at the same time, I want to be able to spin down the street and fucking be able to get myself a Diet Coke if I wanted, or whatever the fuck I want, like normal food. Like, it was like, I remember last time I couldn't even get the whey protein. I was buying bags like off the anybody see this? The gym. Do you remember this? The gym owners would sell me bags of whey, like an actual wee sandwich bag, and he would put a scoop in it and tie it up. And I was joking around saying it looked like cocaine. Because I remember getting stopped at the police going, what the fuck's this? And I had 3 wee bags of whey on me, and I was like, it's fucking protein powder. Like, and they were like, what the fuck? But it's like I couldn't get that. Whereas I was able to go out and go into the supermarket and get a fucking tub of whey protein this time. And that's only about a year later. So it's very interesting to see that changing over time. But I know that's a bit of a weird podcast, but for travel, I think travel expands your horizons. If you haven't done it, I think it's one of the best personal development things you can do. Obviously, if you're in a relationship, you're older, you've got responsibilities, very different. But at any stage, you can get the chance to solo travel. I would highly recommend it, even from a perspective of like, responsibility, looking after yourself. Like, there were stages last year where, like, for a day or two, I would have a wee bit of Wi-Fi in Mexico because there's blackouts everywhere, and I had no signals for like 2 days. I was off grid, and like, you realize, not like, there's nothing you can do. There's no big deal, and it's interesting because then you have to become resourceful. You have to keep yourself occupied. It's one of the things, and you meet people. You'll actually go out. Like, I go out to a pub by myself then and have a conversation with people, Joe. And you wouldn't do that normally. And I think it pushes you to grow as an individual. And then if you don't like it, you just go home. Like, but I think solo traveling is highly underrated.
Yeah, it'll you'll learn more about yourself in a foreign country on your own when you have to depend on yourself to get from A to B. There's nobody else going, oh, check the times. Do you know where we're going? Do you know where this? There's the scariness to it. And I get why people are scared. But also, once you do it a few times, there's this confidence that you'll get from it. And because there is situations where, especially if you're in a country that's English isn't the first language, or it's a bit hard to get around, where you have to actually do a bit of work and believe, you know, find out things, do a bit of research, you will get confident moving around. Like, it's easy, London and stuff, like, it's all tube, it's all fucking there and plain English. But like, when you go to like Dubai's tricky to get around sometimes, unless you Uber everywhere. Uber will take the fucking thinking out of everything, but it also comes with a firm, you know, value. But if you're like, because I remember like backpacking around Eastern Europe when I was young, like doing the Interrail, and back then Eastern Europe was fucking Eastern Europe. Wasn't the way it is now. Prague wasn't the Prague you see now. Prague was fucking hectic back then.
Was it?
Oh, hectic. You still had a massive Russian fucking community. You know, you were, and at that time it had just become Czech Republic, not that long. You know, there was still that whole gripe. It's not even called Czech Republic anymore. Is that not?
I don't fucking know.
But yeah, like we were going to places like that. We were going to Croatia. There was still bullet holes in the fucking walls in Croatia. You know, it wasn't far away. Like you weren't a million miles off when they were, you know, going through the shit in there. And in drilling, you had to have your P's and Q's together. You had to know where you were going. You had to know what you were doing. You had to know who to listen to, who not to listen to. And I think that's one of the things you get from solo travel. And I would say
But
to
it's
anybody, don't say if you can't get your friends to go away somewhere, but you really want to go somewhere, just go and fucking do it. Because there come a time in your life when friends start getting married, friends start like just they have other things to do, and they may not have a chance to do things with you for the rest of their lives because it's just the way life works. So you can't hold back and not do stuff just because there's no one to do it with.
yeah,
Just
I think
go
that's
and fucking do
key.
it, like.
I think one of the main things I've got really used to as I've been single over the last 18 months is like not waiting for somebody to go for lunch or brunch or go out and about. And I'll bring a journal, usually a lot of the time with me if I go out for coffee or that, and it gives me time to think. I think there's a lot said for like, when's the last time, and this is going to really trigger people, when's the last time, and there's going to be people out walking it, when's the last time you went for a walk with no input? You didn't phone somebody, you
No.
didn't scroll, you didn't listen to something. And you just let your mind roam free. And as Naval Ravikant says, I think this is really important. So there's 20-minute period during the day where you should just have silence, whether it's in nature, whether it's sitting on the sofa. He does this every day, 20, 30 minutes. And this is where meditation comes in for a lot of people, but I feel like your meditation can be walking, it can be the gym. Just 20 to 30 minutes where there's no inputs and your brain is allowed to reorganize itself. So a really good example is he says that the reason that a lot of people get overwhelmed when they meditate or when they try and take silence is because it's been that long since you've taken silence. If you imagine it's like your email junk box, like your email is like your brain, right? Every day if you go through it, it keeps nice and clean and you can sort out what's primary, what's secondary, what's junk and what needs deleted or what's spam or whatever. And your brain can organize your thoughts in this, right? That's primary, that needs sorted, secondary junk, and then random shit will pop in here and there. But if you aren't organizing that every day or every second day or every third day, you're not giving yourself time once a week at max, at least. You give 6 months, 12 months, 2 years. You imagine how many fucking emails you have there that are shit, primary, second. You can't figure out anything. So then the thing is, the first time you do it, it's going to be very overwhelming. So then that's why people don't do it again. So the more often you do that, usually the more clear-minded you get. And then you start realizing, right, well, I've been putting that to the back of my mind and that needs sorting. Because how many of us here can raise our hand and go, I said I would do that then, and it's now 3 months later and it's not sorted. Like, for example, I was trying to get a house organized in Spain, and that's been put in the back finger or the long finger. And now, so multiple months have rolled on. And it's like, well, where does that fall? Is that a primary, secondary? Am I overwhelmed? Am I sorting my thoughts? And then I was right, here's the action plan. This is when it happens. And you get more done this way, even though it feels like you're technically doing less, because we're caught in what I said before, productivity pandemic, whereas we're not learning, we're not doing. It always feels like we're losing. Whereas sometimes being still and having silence allows you to actually do more. Like, you don't need to read 100 books or listen to 100 podcasts. You actually don't like, and it's implementing, it's the knowledge and then implementation. So many of us are guilty of this mental masturbation nowadays where it's more and more and more. And in reality, you don't need more, you just need more action and less inputs. And that quiet time will actually allow you to do that drastically. And that's why a lot of the time now I cut out Netflix there for about 7 months and I would sit in a journal or I would listen to a podcast, but then I'd be like, right, well, how do I implement this? It's not like when it's done, it's done. It's like I would take notes during it. And as soon as it's done, I'm like, right, what notes did I take? What needs done as an action step off the back of this? Because it's never about what we know, it's about what we do as an individual that defines where we go in life. And that for me is the most important thing that you can really focus on. Because otherwise you're just going to get caught in the rat trap and it's going to go day to day, month to month, and nothing changes, even though you're like, well, I'm putting in the self-development work. You're not, you're putting in the self-development listening aspect. You're putting in the theory. You haven't actually took the car out to fucking drive. And that's the difference in you changing your life and being in the same spot. And it's the same as Mickey said, don't wait on the perfect person, the perfect time. Like it's one of the things where, like, for example, it's very easy for me to go now. Daniel goes home on Friday. It's very easy for me to go, right, well,
You're
he's
going to
going
go home.
home. I'm gonna go home. And I can feel that pull. I can feel it happening where
Oh,
you're
yeah.
like, oh, Joe, that'll be easy. But I'm like, right, JBG wants to collab. He's talking about the 3rd to the 5th of May. He's talking about that date, right? So that's a week there. I could fly home and then fly back out. And yes, that's probably easy, probably. But I'm like, well, what happens in that week I go by myself and travel? Who can I meet? what can happen. Whereas when I go home, I know where that, I know that leads, and it's nothing wrong with it. I might still do it.
Yeah.
But it's like, it has to be a decision that's made conscious, not like out of fear. And then when you make it out of like the right mindset, you're doing it right. It's like, what is steering my life? What is steering my directions to travel? Is it unconscious bias? Is it that I have to have a wife, two kids? I have to have permission to travel. I can't go on a solo trip because I'm in a relationship. I can't go on a solo trip because I've got family. Joe, that's selfish. Like, what are you letting lead your life? And obviously it's very easy for me to say that as a single individual, but I still took solo trips the whole time while I was in a relationship. And I feel like it actually benefited our relationship and me massively for that time period. And the same with like family. And I feel like even just going away with one relative is really, really good. Instead of all of them, it lets bond closer, lets you get to know them at a deeper level. There's all that as well. So I just think it's having a bit more of a conscious approach to that. And I know that sounds a bit deep, but if I think a lot of people, including myself, you don't know yourself until you sort of spend time by yourself with no inputs. And then you start to learn, right, what is good? What is bad? Where's my chinks? What needs worked on? And then at least that way you're not lying to yourself, because we all have this false realm of like where we keep ourselves so busy that we don't have to think about our thoughts, that we maybe gained a little bit too much weight. We're maybe not as disciplined. We're maybe not as confident as we want. Maybe we're not as, maybe I always say this to my clients. I said it yesterday when I was doing check-ins, and I don't mean to go on a rant. If I ask you right now, what is the one habit that is hindering you from being better in every area of your life, physical, financial, mental? And a lot of the time, it's got to be the inputs we're doing. And it's when you break it down, I said this and I was like, are you hitting snooze? Are you going to bed at 10 and then staying up scrolling? Are you scrolling during the middle of the day? Are you on your phone at the dinner table? Are you not eating at the dinner table with your family? And that will give you a lot of joy. What one habit, when I say that, scrolling, are you watching too much porn, is if you could remove that, your life would probably improve mentally, physically. And then you have to go to yourself, why the fuck haven't I done that? And then you have to realize that you're actually asking for the misery. You're asking for that over time. And I think that makes a really, really big difference in the long haul. What do you think in terms of like habits, routines, rituals? Like, do you notice I noticed that I sort of let them slip in from time to time.
Yeah, I notice when you're saying that, I'm literally notice it massively at the moment. I'm starting to get into a bad habit of scrolling at night again, like a fucking shit habit. And the funny thing was, I'm doing it so subconsciously, because the Saturday before, I was going to Kilkenny the next morning super early. I got home from a gig at 3 a.m. and I said to myself, you cannot scroll tonight. You need to go straight to sleep. This is what you need to do. I went to sleep at night. I got up the next morning at 10, left for Kilkenny at 11. Felt good. Fast forward, last Saturday, came in from a gig at 3 a.m., scrolled to 4:30, ended up watching the boxing to 6 o'clock.
Holy fuck.
I know, like, I did want to see the boxing, but I didn't need to see it. And Sunday, then I had an event on Sunday, and I felt like shit all day. I was tired all day. I was tired Monday. And it just really hit home that I'm getting back into the bad habits of scrolling. You said about the snooze button, getting in the habit of hitting the snooze button again, getting a wee bit lazy on it. I'm still fairly highly productive, but not at the point where I need to be or want to be at the moment.
Self-worth too, isn't it? Like when you hit snooze, I think it tells yourself you've lost the day. Even if you get up 4 minutes later, 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a promise. You said you would get, you were going to, a lot of people don't look at it like that. You said you were going to get up at that time and you didn't. It's like, I'm going to do this at this date and you don't do it. It's although you feel like it doesn't matter, that's the thing that matters most. It's like they have small things. It's like, Joe, it doesn't seem like it matters if you don't go on a date night on a Friday. It doesn't seem like it doesn't matter if you don't spend that cup of tea with your mom or meet your sister on a Saturday for a coffee you agreed on because you're busy or because of this, or you don't make time just because, oh, I forgot. You're well aware of it. And it's one of the things where it's these habits that we let, you can almost like, just like James Clear says, positively habit stack, you can end up negatively habit stacking because one bad habit turns into more.
One bad habit, like I would honestly say there's no such thing as one bad habit. There's always multiples in, but sometimes you'll put it down to the one thing. Like as you said, the inputs.
100%.
But then also like when you were saying about, we were talking about the inputs, just to go back a wee bit, we were talking about not implementing stuff that you're learning and hearing. The other problem is implementing too much stuff And every single time you hear a different perspective on something, you think this person is right. Oh no, now he's right. Now he's right. And then you end up getting so fucking confused and you're going wishy-washy into different things. One minute you're this guy, next minute you're balls and I'm only this guy, next minute I'm this guy, and then you're like, fuck. But at some stage, and Tony will probably do this, and I've done this, we've all done this, we all grew up with, say, the fitness person that you looked at and thought everything they do is gospel. And then you've seen something else and you're like, well, fuck no, he seems to know what he's at. And then you realize that everybody's not totally wrong and everybody's not totally right. But if you can take a snippet from everyone and use that to educate yourself so you can create your own outlook, and just like your own outlook's not going to be 100% right or 100% wrong, but there's something about it could be right. So instead of going like, oh, I'm fucking... You hear somebody on Stephen Bartlett's podcast and go, yes, I need to do this sleep routine. I need to fucking eat Huel. I need to do this shit. And then the next minute you go and you listen to Lloyd thing and he's like, no, you just need to eat stuff with one or two ingredients and maximum, or single ingredient sources. You'll send yourself fucking up a wall listening to every expert, because every expert has their own way of making money, and their way of making money is their opinion. So what I would say to people is, instead of getting so much into, you know, learning and learning from other people, take everything on board and work out what suits you, and then that'll be you, and then that's your way of learning, instead of going balls in, all in. It's like the CrossFitters, when they start doing CrossFit, there's nothing else in the world matters to them. It's just CrossFit, CrossFit, CrossFit. And now that HYROX is starting to get more important, the CrossFitters are starting to look at HYROX going, it's actually a lot less sore on my body, I'll admit. Because CrossFitters are in fucking pain, morning, noon, and night. So now they're jumping on HYROX and there's nothing in the world like HYROX. But yet...
No, you'll see my next reels.
Is it all? I'll feel...
taking the piss out of them. You'll enjoy that.
But like... it's like that sort of thing that it's like, it's okay to do CrossFit. Like Sean Casey talks about, it's okay to do HYROX. It's okay to do bodybuilding training. It's okay to do marathon training. Nobody's wrong and nobody's right. But you don't make it your fucking personality. It's just like, it's okay to drink alcohol. And it's okay to be absent from alcohol. It's okay not to be on alcohol. But don't make that your fucking personality and that's all you know, because guess what? Someday you're going to take another beer and then you're, for the last 2 years, you're going to be fucking harping on to people going, don't drink, drink's bad. Then you just had a beer and you get annoyed with yourself and you go, I'm a fucking hypocrite.
Exactly. It's 100%.
It's 100%. Mad. Like Sean
couldn't agree more.
And if anybody looked at Sean saying, Sean had a beer the other week and loads of people were like, oh man, you broke. And Sean goes, no, I chose to have a fucking beer.
Yeah, like I said this before, like for me, it's one of these things that where I don't love this whole I'm doing a year so personally, because I've done two years.
But you probably didn't even try to do it. It just so
happened. I didn't realize that I fucking done it. That was the thing, because I took a drink of my dad's beer on holiday. He goes, me try that. That's a great pint. And I remember it very clearly. And he goes, when's the last time you had a drink? And I was like, fuck. I was like, I don't know. And I was like, And I remember sitting there and he goes, do you know what? I'm going to work that out tomorrow, because we were out and I had a drink or two of them. And I worked it out and it was like, the last time I could realistically remember was around the 2 year mark. It was maybe 19, 20 months now. That was about 2 years ago that happened to me in Morbeo with him, or 18 months ago. And since then, I've still had a couple of drinks here and there. But like, I would say I very rarely have drinks. It could be 5-6 months a year where I go about a drink, and then 4 weekends back to back where I have a couple. And it, for me, like, if you had to completely remove something from your life, that to me shows, control shows thing. But like, I do believe that alcohol can add your life in the right balance. And I think removing it entirely for the rest of your days, if you struggle with it, and that's usually what I notice, most people struggle with it and that's why they need to remove it. It's like phone use. If you can do a digital detox, you can reset the dopamine and that helps. But for me, if you can have a moderation, a balance approach, moderation is not binge drinking once a week or once a month. Moderation is being able to take it or leave it as you feel. And I think the worst thing to do is, if you feel like you only meet your friends when you drink, that's not friends, they're drinking buddies. If you need a drink to go to a nightclub, or you need a drink to go to a certain situation,
it's not
that
for
highlights
you.
That place is not for you. I don't need a drink to go to a festival. I really enjoy the music of a go now.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I don't really go there that often. I can go to a comedy show with or without a drink because I enjoy them.
Yeah.
Versus a nightclub, I think I would struggle because of everything there. Whereas I think 5 years ago, I would have went to a nightclub sober and I still would have enjoyed it. So it just depends as time moves on to it. It doesn't mean you're turning four, and it doesn't mean this does. It just means your values are probably changing. And one of the main reasons, like, I used to go to nightclubs was whenever I was 20 years old and single, and I wanted to pull, and it was a very different environment. Whereas now, like, bringing home a girl on a one night stand, it just wouldn't fulfill me. It would actually make me feel worse. So it's completely different. I think I've had one night stand in my life, and it was tragic. And it's one of the things where, like, don't get me wrong, sex, all that's great. Fine, but like, as much as people let on, like, it boosts your ego. I said this on Dorgan's podcast every week. I was like, if you're a man and you, like, ask yourself this, have you ever bragged about having sexual partners or numbers or a woman, pulling a woman to your friends? Because if you do, you're looking for external validation for others. And I want to highlight to you that you're only doing that because you feel like it moves your status up to help you get a better looking woman or whatever it is, or make you feel better for an insecurity that's underlying there. Because a real man, a real confident individual doesn't need to go, I've slept with X amount, I've one night stand, I pulled her, because you wouldn't need to say that. Like, it doesn't need said. Like, any confident individual, you know, realistically doesn't have to say that. You know, the weakest is the one who speaks like that. And it's actually, I notice it around people I used to hang around with. Like, I remember meeting somebody the other week, first time in must be fucking 2 years.
Yeah.
And the second question he asked me was, who are you riding nowadays?
That's such a fucking pony thing,
went, isn't it? And he goes, because you're single about 18 months. You must be, and the Instagram's popping. It must be manic. And I was like, I just laughed. And he goes, fuck, you're actually serious. And I was like, I was like laughing because I thought it was a joke. And I goes, you're actually serious. And I was like, one, I goes, nobody. And two, I go, what? Like, I've literally just met you the first time. And he's like, but man, you're well, it's obviously no one. And I was like, I just said it was no one. I was like, that's not a slag. I was like, I've just highlighted your first question and actually answered it when I probably shouldn't have. And I was like, do you want me to ask who have you been having sex with? And he goes, well, man, I've been, and he started listening. And I was like, I shouldn't have even asked this, but I was like, this is a, see if any ladies listen, that's actually, if you knew somebody well and you haven't seen them in about 2 years and you were a good friend of yours and then you see them, that's not an out of this world question. Like, people, most men have been asked that, like, within like a couple of pints of a bit of crack. Don't get me wrong, there's a difference with who you're seeing, but it's like, is it them curiosity and looking for you, or is it a conversation where it's like, who's got the bigger cock? And whenever it comes down to that, then you have to go, like, that's like me turning around and going, what are you, like, me going, I haven't seen you in 2 years, what are you, bench? It's like, who gives a fuck? Like, just so you can ask me how much I left. Like, it's a very interesting thing. I do feel like there is a status game in society, and don't get me wrong, I believe that's all part and partial, but I do think it's very interesting whenever you look at the subconscious behavior that you don't even see people leading conversations with. It shows you, it's like whenever you're talking to a parent or somebody, and don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong, as we said last week, that they're trying to keep you safe. If they're trying to make a decision, Joe, where they're like, don't follow that coaching career or don't do this, they're not doing it out of badness, and you shouldn't take that out of like, oh, this person's a dick. You just need to realize that that person isn't actually probably conscious of why they're saying that or what's leading their thought process. Yeah. And it's like that parent's doing that out of a good place. They're doing it out of safety.
Oh,
doing it looking out for you. That friend of mine is doing that probably because of an insecurity and wanting to seem like, you know, he's doing well in one area or whatever it is. But the thing is, you don't realize that. And maybe we don't realize what's leading our conversation. So maybe that's a better way to look at, like, what are we saying that's maybe impacting somebody? And, you know, are you trying to trigger somebody to get a response? A lot of people don't realize that. And I think it's something that whenever you sit with your own self, like the travel we were talking about, it loops around. You spend time analyzing situations, the way you talk to people. Like, when you introduce yourself and somebody goes, what do you do? Do you immediately go, my job is X? Is that your identity? Or do you talk about your passion or your hobby or whatever it is? And it, like, I always say, like, when somebody goes to me, what do you do? I'm always like, I just try and help as many people as I possibly can. And they're like, how? And I'm like, oh, just by any means, I do X, Y, Z. And I look after anybody in my job. And it's different to, like, I'm a coach. It's like, it's not that it's a boring answer, but it's like, I like to think of myself as more than that. Like, if you're a nurse, you're, don't get me wrong, that's a great job, fulfilling. But you're more than a nurse. You're a sister, a mom, a daughter.
Yeah.
So, like, identifying as one thing is actually doing yourself a disjustice. And I feel like whenever you spend time by yourself away from work, traveling, you realize that a lot of what we are is defined by society and the labels we put on ourselves, versus like, you're maybe just a good person and you're trying to find your way. And it's very, I know that's very deep, but it's one of the things of, like, whenever I'm talking to the locals around here, I'm not going, oh, I do Instagram fitness and look at my following, or I help coaches build six-figure fitness. I'm just going, when they ask me what I'm doing, I'm just like, I'm just traveling around right now.
Yeah.
Just enjoying things. Like, and I'm like, because that is actually what I'm fucking doing at this right current moment. Where somebody goes, what are you up to? I'm like, I'm just going to hit a hard session here. And they're like, oh, but what do you do? And I'm like, just traveling around. And then if they go, what's your job? I'm like, right, well, I'm going to answer that fucking question.
I have to be assertive of the thing. Or
I'm not trying to dodge it. I'm not trying to
dodge
it.
That's the same as me. Like, when people say, what do you do for a living? I always make a joke. Well, I just fucking hit buttons and music comes out.
Yeah.
Then they go, because you go, oh, I'll just play music and stuff. And then they go, oh, do you play the guitar? It's always the first thing you go, no, I'm a DJ. And then they kind of make a joke going, oh, so you just sleep a woman then? And like, so, just so I can get the upper hand before they can make the joke, I always go, I just hit buttons and fucking sound comes out. And then they just laugh.
I would say you're 21st century piano player.
And then they just laugh. And then they're like, oh, like a DJ. And you're like, aye. And then they're like, oh, right. But that is true. Like, people are obsessed. Like, I was chatting with Gare Laura Day, and they do a Gairlies reunion every couple of months, because they're all like Dublin, Tyrone, Donegal, Belfast. They're all like, all her friends group are all spirited away. And she's the only single one in the group. And she was like, I'm fucking dreading it. They're dreading the start of it. And I was like, why? And she goes, because they'll all go, are you dating anyone? And I'll go, no, haven't been on a date in months. And then they'll be like, it'll turn into a fucking a therapy session. And she's like, yeah. I'm choosing not to date people. She's like, you just need to get it in your head that you don't have to fucking be dating people. Just because all yous are all in fucking loving relationships, married, long term boyfriends.
I get that quite a lot.
I get it a wee bit, but I would normally get it. You do get the brash guys in Tyrone and County Down, Armagh, whatever, who you're riding. And that is the same as a fella going, are you seeing anybody? They don't really mean anything by it, but
yes, exactly.
It's just they're just their way of doing it. Like, I would have a friend that would check in on me when we go out for a pint and go, here, are you seeing anybody at the minute? Because I would never be forthcoming with that information, because it's a hard thing to bring up. You meet a friend, go, oh, here, by the way, I've met someone.
You need us.
I find that hard to bring that forward. And it's not like you're trying to hide the person. It's like, it's just a hard thing to bring forward.
I agree. As a male, it is.
As a male, it's hard to come out. And somebody, because your friends could, like, and everybody knows this, any of the fellas listening, your friends could turn around and go, oh, look at him. Oh, I fucking see someone. So, but it's easy for girls to do it. You go, oh, I've met a guy. And they'll be like, oh, they're all buzzing for you. But if you say to your friend, I've met a girl, they're not going to go, oh my God, tell me everything. They're going to go, also, good man, where'd you meet her?
There's also this thing as you get older too, and I'm sure most men have experienced this. You start seeing a new loss and everything's going well, and you're almost conscious of bringing her up, because you're like, what are these individuals going to say that's going to, like, is it a rumor? Is it true? Because usually when you bring up, I don't care what anyone says, unless the males are, especially the males are tuned in, or the females, they'll bring up something they've heard. Yeah. And it's probably not even true. Oh, she used to go out with X, or, oh, I heard this, or I, and then that can taint your thought process around that individual. It's like, for example, I remember after my, and this may be straight, I remember after my breakup, it was on websites that I was like abusive, like during the entire thing. And I was like, that's a pure rumor. Yeah. Like, that somebody's just wrote that in. And I was like, that, like, I don't care what anyone says, all you have is your name. Like, that could spread like wildfire. And then that taints your name, because people will go, no smoke, no fire. Now, a lot of the time there isn't. And it's one of them things where then you realize like how dangerous that is and we're all guilty of it. Like, I've done that before where somebody says something, I'm like, oh, you want to be careful. I've heard this. And you're not even meaning to. But it's different if you've heard it from somebody that you're like, right, that person's a trustworthy source. Like, say I hear something about a business and I hear from my business partner and I know you're going into business with them. I'm like, look, mate, I'm not saying this about it. I've just heard this, so just be aware. Don't let it taint you. It's not 100% valid, but just so you're cautious around it. I would be a bad friend if I didn't inform you. That is fair.
Yeah.
But it's whenever you're spreading something, you're like, I don't even know if this is fucking true. It's just like, I've just whipped it. It's that fine line of like, are you looking out for them, or are you just talking for the sake of talking? Are you? And it's tricky because we don't really know what's true and what's not. And with everything in life, it's your story, their story, and the truth. And it's hard to walk that fine line. But if one thing I want to get across in this podcast is spend time by yourself, reflecting, reviewing, realigning where you're going. Because a lot of us, and I remember my friend telling me this, his dad told him it before he passed, and it always hits home with me. And it's, if you don't stop and look around every once in a while, you maybe realize that this was the right path for the last 5 years, but at this point, you maybe want to go left.
At this point, you maybe want to go right. Maybe you don't want to continue on this path. It doesn't mean you've been walking the wrong path. Like, the path's been right. Like, a lot of people get this real negative thought process that because a relationship ends, or because a career ends, or because you're 27 now and you're only figuring out what you were meant to do now, that, or 40, that this is wrong for you, or, you know, you've been a dad, now you're 50 and the child's grown up, and that now it feels like your whole life's been a lie, and, you know, you should have been pursuing this. It's not. That was the right path for you. You can't go back. You can't change it. This was the right path that led you to this moment. You just need to sit, figure out, do I still want to walk this path? Unconscious, but now I am conscious. I can see where I am. I can reflect. Is my life going in every area, relationship, physically, mentally, financially, that I want? And remember, you can't really have it all. You're going to be unbalanced. But, like, is this the route I want to walk? Because the more and more I look at this, the more and more I see that the route I was walking for a long time was money, that sort of sense of things, chasing that. And, like, the more I look at it, the more that I walk down that path, the more I'm starting to diverge of it. Now, I'm still, and the funniest thing is, I'm actually making more money and working less. But the thing was, I was too work-orientated. And a lot of my self-worth was divided off how productive I was to day-to-day. How many people could I meet? How many people could I sell? How many people could I help coach? How many people could I make content for? How many people could I do this? How many people could I... And that self-worth through productivity is negative as well. So it's just like, right, well, whenever I look back in 10 years' time, what do I want the last 10 years to say about me? And I'm not saying I have a 10-year game plan, but I'm sure as fuck not going to turn around and be like, oh, I made another X amount of money. It's going to be like, right, well, what memories, what countries I've been to, what moments matter to me? And you just take that moment and think today, and if that hits home, I hope it does, and if hopefully I'll see us all in Bali at some stage over the year.
I have a good one just in closing.
Go.
Have you ever heard of the Facebook group called Are We Dating the Same Guy? Or something around that thing. So I matched with a girl on one of them dating apps last week, and she straight away put a picture of me into this group on Facebook. Christ. And a girl who I kind of know, I don't know her personally, but I know her, replied underneath and goes, 100% not single.
See, do you know what I mean?
Like, but she, like I am, I'm as single as fuck, but this girl would not know any of my friends, knows fuck all about me. I only know her via people, and she wrote underneath it, and then the girl who thing replied it and goes, thought as much. Then she says to me, you've got a girlfriend, and I was like, I don't. How do you know that? And then she told me what she'd done. And I was like, well, that's 100% wrong. But, and I was just thinking, that's, you know, girl, there is this whole thing, girls code, girls have girls' backs. Just be a wee bit careful, because that I've never had a conversation with this other female in question. But it was just a wee bit typical. Mental. It was a wee bit mental. And the way she said it, she was very confident, 100% has a girlfriend. Like, she didn't say anything else. That was all she said, 100% as a girlfriend.
Always the way.
I was just thinking to myself, just be a wee bit careful too in these things. And also, like, any dating apps or whatever you're dating, be careful for the other side, because maybe sometimes they may have girlfriends. But this girl said that, and yeah, just
what? If you've got a girlfriend, you're on a dating app, like, you're a moron. Like, so I do believe there's a...
Oh, I'd
like,
say there's a, I'd say there's a lot of fellas on dating apps or fake profiles and stuff, but them sort of groups that were set up to kind of help people, are we dating the same guy? There is people in it now, because they've got quite famous, there's people exploiting. So just be careful, girls and boys. Exactly. But right, we're going to wrap it up. Rate, review, share, do everything you normally do, and we will be back with another one next week.
And the only thing I want to say is I apologize for anybody hearing me slopping at the start of this. We don't get paid for this. I was eating oats, and anybody seen me move in the last 5 minutes, I was charging my MacBook. I was on 2% freedom down. Big love, like, share, review. Peace out. Woo!
Bye.